John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away from a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
In this faith community, over the last number of weeks, we've been working through what's known as the Upper Room Discourse from John chapter 13, and we're working through to chapter 17. And so today we're continuing on in that, but it also can be a standalone piece. So if you're inviting or with us today, visiting, then that's where we've been and where we're going. Jean Vanier, who was the founder of the L'Arche communities around the world, over 200 communities around the world, literally, and serve as communities for taking care of those individuals who have severe or different types of disabilities. He writes for us, a Canadian. The home of our hearts needs to be emptied and cleaned up so that we can be filled with God and so become a fountain of life for others. I'll read it one more time. The home, important word for us, the home of our hearts needs to be emptied and cleaned up so that we can be filled with God and so become a fountain of life for others. And so today on Good Friday, we remember God's work in Jesus to provide for us that home, that place of connection with God. And that all happens because Jesus has done this amazing work for us, which you will see as we move through the text. So there's three parts to the talk, and the first piece has to do with cleaning up and being filled where that, quote, leads us. So the words of Jesus to his intimate disciples in the upper room, I am the true vine. This is the seventh statement where Jesus has used the metaphor, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the way and the truth, so on and so on. This is the last one. I am the true vine. It's a picture for us. So I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. So I want to begin with this issue of cleaning that God does for us. So Jesus here uses a very common metaphor in the ancient world, particularly in the Mediterranean world, that of a vineyard. And so wines, as you know, are grown all around the countries of the Mediterranean. That kind of dry, warm climate enables the vineyard to really blossom. And so it's a metaphor that they would have been very familiar with. We, unfortunately, in Toronto are less familiar with this unless you maybe are go down to the Niagara area, and there's lots of vineyards, or down to Prince Edward County. So there are wine-growing areas in Ontario. But it was very common in Jesus' day, and In reality, also Israel, the nation of Israel, had been called a vine. That was a language or a term that was used for Israel as well. So these Jewish disciples would have clued into this right away. Israel had been the vine. There are lots of vineyards around us. And so then now Jesus claims it in verses 1 and verse 5. He says, I am the true vine and I am the vine. He claims it for himself, so it's a very powerful statement. No longer is the nation the vine, I am the vine. And so it's an allegory that's going to be developed, we'll develop a bit later, but so what's happening is the Father is the vine grower. It's an allegory. Father is the vine grower. He's the one who tends the vine. Jesus is the vine. And then those who are connected to Jesus, believers, we are the branches. So that's where Jesus is going with that. And the disciples would pick up on that. The Father is the vine grower. I am the vine. No longer the nation Israel. I am the vine. And you who are connected with me, you are the branches. So he's going to develop that as he goes. And so we need to be cleaned up. So I don't know, again, I'm not really familiar with vineyards, but what I've read is they take a lot of work. Anybody here a wine grower? Nobody? Anybody live down in Niagara on the Lake ever? Nobody. Okay, together we had known nothing about wine, so I can say whatever I like and you'll just believe me, right? But apparently, vines are very hard to grow, and they take a long time to grow. There are vineyard areas in Bolivia that I've visited, have toured those areas, toured a little bit in Niagara Falls. But they constantly need pruning. They constantly need work, taking away the dead growth, allowing the main vine to grow stronger and stronger and stronger, so ultimately there will be a good harvest. So that really does happen. So the vines need to be cleaned up. The branches need to be cleaned up. And ultimately, where Jesus is going, where John is going in the Passion story, is that this happens for us initially in what Jesus does for us on the cross. He lays down his life. So part of our text, if you look at verses 12 and 13, or what we'll be using on Sunday, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one friend. So this is a reference to what Jesus is going to be doing for us. He lays down his life for us so that we can indeed be connected to the vine, him, and be shaped by the vine grower, Abba. So this initial cleansing is what takes place. It's why we celebrate Good Friday. It's why we're going to have communion, because we celebrate Jesus' broken body, exactly the story, his shed blood, what we've just read from the Gospel of John. So this initial connection is done by Jesus, his work for us. Amen? Amen? Amen. He has done that for us. He is the broken bread. His blood is the shed blood for us. We are connected to him. But what's happening in this text is telling us that it's not a static process. It's not just a once-for-all action of what God has done for us in Jesus. Rather, it's a fluid piece. And so, for example, if we go back in the Gospel of John to the story of the woman at the well, you remember Jesus sits down and asks for a drink from the Samaritan woman. And in that story, he asks and begins to share his reality, share his connection with the Father, with this woman, who is another faith group altogether. But he speaks to her. And so in verse 14 of John 4, we hear his words. At a well he's sitting, but he says, those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And the woman's response is, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. It's a ongoing reality. Help me to drink of this. I have to keep drinking. I have to stay connected. That's the idea. And so she goes off and she comes back with many of her friends, and then she wants to introduce them to Jesus. So it's not a static process. It's not just once off. It's not just about coming to Jesus. It is staying connected to Jesus. It is that ongoing cleansing. That is what Jesus is saying. So one, it's an ongoing cleansing that Christ has done. He's done this work for us, and then we stay connected to him in an ongoing way. So we need to be mindful of our own lives here. We think of the word cleansing. That's the key word in the first piece, cleansing. We want to clean up our lives so our home might be acceptable to God. This is what Jean Vanier is saying right off the beginning. So how responsive are we to that reality? How receptive are we? Do we want to be cleaned? Do we want to be made whole? Jesus says to one individual, do you want to be made well? Goes to the man sitting at the pool. He asks him. He's sick. He's been infirm for many years. But Jesus doesn't assume he wants to be made well. He says, do you want to be made well? And then the man starts making all kinds of excuses why he can't get into the pool, Bethesda. I can't get there in time, da-da-da-da-da. There was this idea that the first one in would be healed. Do you want to be made well? Jesus hears enough in that which says yes, that he goes on to heal him. So do we want to be cleansed? Good Friday, do we want to be cleansed? You want to stop resisting God wherever that might be in our own lives. It's so easy to do that, isn't it? We resist because we want other things. We want power. We want money. We want fame. Whatever it is, we want those things. And so we back off from Jesus because we want those other realities. That's where the text begins. Do we want to be cleansed? Second key word is pruning. Abide in me as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. We need to stay connected. This requires pruning. Particularly, we see that in verse 2. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. It's all this allegory. The branches that aren't bearing fruit, he just throws them away. It's just part of the story that would happen in a vineyard. It still happens in a vineyard. You go down to these wine-growing areas. So ongoing pruning is needed. And the key is we have to remain in God's love. We have to abide in his love. That word is used over and over and over, 15 times, or not, that's not right, 10 times through this verses 1 to 11, the word abide or remain is used. 5 times in the text that we're looking at right away. Remain in me. Abide in me. Stay connected to me. This happens through this pruning, God's work in our lives. So how does he prune? Well, here are some of the ways. I suggest maybe it happens. Job loss, death of a loved one, pruning. How does pruning happen in our lives? How does God get our attention? Well, C.S. Lewis says that God shouts to us in our pain. So maybe pain is part of that pruning. Be sudden, can be gradual. All the hardships that you've had this week, it's really how we look at life. I'm not saying God does those things to prune you, but in the reality of our life, pruning does take place. So will we use those as a way to open up ourselves to God, or do we use them as a way to tighten up and say no? We can get angry. We can become bitter with God. What's our reaction? God is always wanting us to shape us, just like the vine grower does to the vine. This is the allegory that Jesus is working with. So what in your life, where in your life might you say, if you're a believer, God has been pruning me? What might that be? And what is suggested here in this slide is some of those hard times that we are in, and we don't know why they've happened, where they're going, can be also a way that God gets our attention if we will look to him. If you're an athlete now and says, and you break your leg, you might say, my career is over. Or you might say, God is opening up a whole new way for me, a new vocation. Of course, that would take maturity to say that, wouldn't it? Nevertheless, it can be true. You end and lose your job. Is that the end? Or can that be a way that God speaks to us? I get sick. Is it a, the end, or is it a way that God is speaking to me? That's the whole idea of pruning. That's what Jesus is saying. So he's not just making it up, right? It's an allegory. It speaks to us. That's it. It begins with cleansing, being connected to the vine, and then the Father goes on and prunes us. Only you can look at your life and say, where is that pruning happening? It's not up to me to say that. You have to ask yourself, where is that happening in my life, and can I move closer? Can I become stronger through this? Even a more abundant vine-producing reality. And the goal of it all, number three, is that we will abide, as I've been saying, that repetition of the word abide. There are the references to how much. This is a key statement. It is not enough to come to Jesus. It is about remaining and abiding with him until the end. That is really what Jesus is saying here to his disciples. Why? Because Judas has just left. Judas was invited. Jesus talked with Judas for 3 years. And he has just left. He's turned his back on Christ, is going to betray him. That's what's happening. So Jesus is saying to every one of us, it is not enough to come to Jesus. It is about remaining, abiding with him until the end. That's the invitation for you and for me on this Good Friday. We are invited to remain, abide in him, persevere in him. Meister Eckhart says, there's all kinds of people who walk the first half of the road, the way. The challenge is to walk the second half of the way. If you've done any hiking, you know that. Beth and I were hiking down in Newfoundland, and we were going to the Spout, this 20-kilometer really hard hike. We had no idea what we were getting into. So we're hiking along the coast of Newfoundland and down on the Avalon Peninsula. We get about halfway. We're exhausted. My legs are tightening up. They're crazy, let alone what happened to Beth. I won't even go there. I'm kidding. We both had a real hard time. We get halfway. You know what happened? We had to turn around and go back. Because we couldn't go the last. The people we were with says, you'll never make it the last half. Honestly, you'll die. Don't go. So we had to walk all the way back because we couldn't go the other way. So the first half is one thing, the second half is another one, and Jesus is saying we're invited to walk the whole way, which means we have to remain. Remain in what? Remain in the vine, which means for John, remain in his love. We have to remain in his love. That's not such a hardship, is it? He's not talking about this long list of things you have to do. He never uses those lists. Remain in his agape love. We keep remaining in his love. That's the invitation. Abide in his love. Remain in his love. That's the first part. And the second part is we are invited to bear fruit. Why? Look in the background here. Because it's all about the grapes. It's all about the harvest. You don't plant a vineyard for nothing. You plant a vineyard because you want grapes. Because ultimately you want wine, right? It's about fruit. So we are invited to remain in his love, number one. And two, we are called to bear fruit. That's what Jesus wants from his disciples. He says, you will be able to do it. Why? Because I will be with you. The Holy Spirit will be with you. But that is your invitation. That's your challenge. That's your life goal, is to remain in love and to bear fruit. And so it talks about a chain. It talks about a chain of love. The Father loves the Son, agape love. The Son loves the believers, the disciples. He loves us, same agape love. And then that grows through to others. We bear fruit, so that love will keep going down the chain out until the whole world ultimately loves and knows the love of God. That is the chain. So your work and my work, really, real work, is to remain in God's love and to show that love to other people. That is your principal work. That's my principal work. Everything else is just making a paycheck. It can be fun. It can be challenging, can be everything else. But in that reality, we are called to bear fruit, which means let His love be revealed. So can we do that? So it's about cleansing Good Friday. It's about pruning and about abiding or remaining. And so I hope and I pray that as we continue on now with communion, it's an invitation for that, to be connected with Jesus, to allow Him to keep shaping us so we're healthy and productive, not a wild vine that doesn't produce any wine at all, and finally that we will remain. So it's a metaphor, it's an allegory that Jesus uses right in the middle of the Upper Room Discourse to speak to our connection with Him. His disciples would have gotten it. Question is, do we get it? So in light of that, I'm going to ask Bonnie to come up, and together we're going to lead us in communion at this point.